How can we mimic or imitate that kindness to other people? Well, what does that look like? How do we carry that out in a very practical way?
Yeah, I think, you know,
internet.
I mean, is it more than just being nice?
Well, yeah, I think time spent in the presence of God and remembering His loving kindness toward us is going to spur us to do that. I mean, Mark, we've talked about that. We never thought we'd ever open air preach, and we started hanging out with Ray Comfort.
No, you open air preached the first time we went out to open air preach
because
with Ray.
Because he called me up on the box. He put me on the spot. So, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we got influenced by that, right? We started watching the videos. We're reading the books, and then we went with him eventually. And being in the presence of God and focusing, like Oscar said, you know what? It's width, length, depth, and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it just begins to just seep out of you because it's like exploding in you. God has been so kind to me. How can I not be kind toward others?
And that's, you know, the kindest thing that I could do for my neighbor is to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
And the most unkindest or the most unloving thing that I could do is to not do that.
Welcome to Josiah and Lilac Day on the Living Waters podcast.
And you can tell it's Josiah and Lilac Day, friends, because all of us have in front of us, you can't see it if you're only listening, the wonderful mugs that our brother and sister made for us. Guys, these are like uber cool.
Uber.
Yeah. So let's describe them for those who can't see them. Josiah and Lilac are longtime listeners and fans of the podcast. They have been so gracious over the course of time. I mentioned in the last podcast that my father passed away, and they sent me flowers. They sent a huge gift, a box with Harry and David goodies.
Wow.
I mean, I can't believe how much they expended. And they've always sent us things. And Lilac is the one who did the artwork for us. If you guys remember a long time ago, we described it on the podcast of the four of us in very
I didn't know posture. It was the same person until I saw your mug.
Yes. So, yeah. So this is me, Wheezy, pounding the table.
For the listeners, can you describe like what you're looking at?
It's like a monster with tears coming out
of my eyes. Oh, I thought it was an actual picture of you.
Yeah, with tears coming out of my eyes, with a ginormous mouth. And it does resemble me, though. And it says Wheezy, and I'm wearing a Wheezy t-shirt. Oscar, what do you got?
Mine's pretty incredible. They must have used AI to figure out the things that I love. I have no idea how you know so much about me. I've got chili cheese dog. I've got a mug here that has a list. Chili cheese dog lover, organic sock wearer, exotic food connoisseur, and logo file, which is like if I had a dating profile, that'd be it.
Mark's is much, much simpler.
Much simpler because I'm a simple man.
Yeah.
Where's the Wiener Schnitzel? Which is a valid question. Anytime I'm traveling, I see if there's a Wiener Schnitzel close to the hotel.
Yeah, that's about it. Ray?
Mine's the glorified body at 6 foot six with a hairy chest and some guy pulling back his shirt and showing this forest on his chest.
His forest.
And I love the mullet, Ray.
A mullet?
You'll see the mullet on?
Oh, I thought there was a cat following me.
Yeah.
Don't miss the forest for the chest.
This 6 foot six with a hairy chest.
Yes, friends. This goes back to Ray's very famous saying, 6 foot six with a hairy chest. That's more like it, right?
Talk like that.
Yeah. So our dear friends, thank you. Oh, and by the way, two of us are very righteous, godly, and holy. Oscar and I are wearing the t-shirts that Lilac and Josiah made. Mine says, Tea Kettle Swain. That's got a tea kettle with wheezing coming out of it.
Mine's got two coffee cups on, I think, like a barbell for weightlifting. And it says, do you even coffee, bro? Which is a great question.
Yeah. And what does my shirt say? I love cats.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
I love cats. I can't eat a whole one, though.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And mine can only be seen by spiritual people.
Oh, yes.
I will say, over the Christmas break and just throughout our time doing this podcast, we like randomly get these boxes of gifts by these kind friends and others. Yeah. And it's always such a blessing to, I don't know, just to see how you guys listen and they create inside jokes with people we've never even met before about our personalities. And so just you guys bless us with this kind of stuff. Thank you.
Speaking
so much
of that, received a gift this morning from Esther DeLong Thornton. Very sweet gift. She'd crocheted a whole stack of crosses, which I gave out to the camera crew and staff.
Awesome.
And so thank you for that. And then the lady that gave me chicken socks. Socks with chicken pictures on them.
Oh.
How cool is that?
Ray, you can put your chicken thighs.
chicken thighs? Leave my thighs out of this.
Yeah, thank you guys again, everyone who sent us gifts, and Josiah and Lilac, you guys really blessed us. Actually, we have something else connected to them. But before that, I have an announcement to make. My sonny boy, Luke, is now an engaged man.
Wow.
He has a fiance. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
Channel. Yeah, I saw the picture of him kneeling down. I didn't kneel down when I proposed to Sue.
Shame on you, Ray.
Really?
I didn't have to.
Kelly kneeled down.
Ray didn't have to.
Actually, Sue proposed to me. That's true.
Why don't we get married?
That was it. That Very was romantic. It.
Yeah.
Was that really how it went
down? That was sitting in the car. She said, why don't we get married? This sounds like a good idea. We'll go and ask your dad.
And how long did you wait before you guys got married?
I can't remember. It's too long ago. Yeah,
it was up to Ray, like 3 seconds.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
God's in it.
Yeah. But anyhow, Janilyn is a wonderful, wonderful, godly young woman. And the Lord just divinely brought her to our son. This kid is in love, like big time. So we're excited to have her as a part of the family. So awesome. Congrats, guys. Shout out. Shout out. All right, back to Josiah and Lilac. Lilac sent this in. Easy, there's a very important topic that must be discussed. Homophones. Hey, Zay, being a homophone's not biblical. Wait, AZ, what's a homophone?
It's homophobic.
Yeah, homophobic. All right, glad you asked the question, Ray. What are homophones? Homophones, according to this description I found online, are words that sound alike but have different spellings and meanings, such as beat, to hit or strike. Beat, a type of root or vegetable. Ate, right, consumed, ate, the number. Bear, naked or to make naked. Bear, to carry or to give birth to. Don't talk about naked things. All right. So then Lilac goes on to give an example. I thought it makes sense to buy scents with scents, and I've smelled great ever since. That's
pretty good.
All right. I found a few more, guys. This is actually pretty cool. Police were called to a daycare where a 3-year-old was resisting arrest. Bakers trade bread recipes on a need to know basis. Uh-huh. Get it? Need?
Yeah.
We get it.
A bicycle can't stand on its own because it is too tired.
Too tired.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, there's so many.
Are these father jokes?
Well,
father jokes.
Dad jokes to the rest of us.
Papa jokes. Yeah, here's a few more. These are good. With her marriage, she got a new name and address. You feel stuck with your debt if you can't budge it. Once you've seen one shopping center, you've seen them all.
So does this work in Chinese? Do Chinese have this sort of thing on their podcast programs? Or Japanese
it.
Or Russians?
I doubt it. Marathon runners with bad footwear suffer the agony of defeat. When she saw her strands of gray hair, she thought she'd die. When fish are in schools, they sometimes take debate. Two more.
The end is nigh.
The roundest knight at King Arthur's round table was Sir Cumference. Ray, you like that one.
I did.
And finally, when the smog lifts in Los Angeles, you see L.A.
Hey.
I love homophones.
This reminds me of the text I sent you guys on Saturday, which I get through enjoyment out of frustrating easy.
Which one?
Guys, I've got some news. Long story short, Kelly's going to need to be on assisted oxygen tank for the foreseeable future.
And my heart
Long sank. Pause. Easy's heart sinks. And then I say, it's my fault. I took her breath away.
That is the ultimate cheesy dad joke. One last one. A canner exceedingly...
You said one
no,
last
no, no,
one already.
No,
don't make yourself a liar.
I lied. You sound like a pastor who can't end a sermon.
A canner exceedingly canny when morning remarked to his granny, a canner can anything that he can, but a canner can't can he? Why does it tickle me inside?
It's a great question.
You guys aren't ticklish today. Forget you guys.
That sounded like that spider one.
Yeah. All right, friends. Here's a comment from Jessa K. Amazing. This podcast has been such an incredible blessing in my life in more ways than just one. I grew up a very devout Mormon in a small town in Utah up until my early 20s, when by the grace of God, he pulled me from the grave of that religion. I had said I accepted Jesus into my heart, but I didn't really truly understand what that meant until I came across one of Ray Comfort's interview videos. I'd realized that I had been living my life for me and what made me happy, thinking I'm good enough and not loving truly for the living truly for the Lord. So I ended up having to relearn everything. Unfortunately, growing up in a religion like that, words are the same, but the meanings are polar opposites. So true. Thanks to this podcast, I have grown exponentially in my walk with Jesus, and in that has turned into getting the opportunity to teach the Bible to fourth and fifth graders at our local Christian school, where I have gotten to teach them that you're never too young to spread the gospel message to everyone.
Ooh.
And more proof that God calls and uses the least qualified for his work. So I thank you all so much for your faithfulness and time spent in this ministry. Through this podcast, God is doing amazing things and affecting more lives than you'll ever know. All glory to God and continual prayer for the whole team.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Sweet.
I had a lady say, like, I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, but at Huntington Beach Pier about 6 weeks ago, a lady came up and she was just so thrilled about the podcast. She tells all her friends about it and she just says to them, try and get through the first 10 minutes.
The stupidity. I know. Well, hey, Jess, that really touched our hearts, sister. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And may you continue to grow in God's grace.
Thank you.
Tina, your cousin, texted me the other day and said she was on approaching episode 200 from listening to the beginning.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've listened to all 200 from beginning into now. And I responded back.
We love to give things away. We love to give things away. And that's why we will do that every single day here on the Living Waters podcast. That's right, friends. We're giving away goodies for those of you who go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. We are giving 10, believe it or not, 10 different people each week goodies from Living Waters, $100 value for each box. You'll get tracts and books and a podcast mug and all kinds of good things. So make sure to participate at livingwaters.com/podcast. And make sure to listen to the very end of the podcast where you will hear the announcement of the winners every week.
Why?
Because her cousin is on here. Yeah, she sent me a voice message and told me the same. I was so thrilled to hear that.
That's wonderful.
All right, friends. This podcast is brought to you by When a Believer Has Doubts, a 27-page booklet by Raytundo Comfortundo.
.com.
.com. Ray, we should start calling you that. That's a kind of a nice name.
Rotundo?
Raytundo Comfortundo. Raytundo.
Can we sounds like I'm overweight.
Rotundo. Raytundo.
That sounds like his Tahitian brother.
Yeah. Ray, when a believer has doubts, what do you do if you're a professed Christian, but you have plaguing doubts about the existence of God or the inspiration of the Bible, or you have difficulty having faith in God? This short booklet will answer these questions, these important questions.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was.
Give us an example, Ray.
By that booklet. Mm. Right?
Oh, the difference between faith and faith. Most people think belief in God and trust in God are the same thing when they're not. Anyone believes in God because of creation, but when we talk about faith in God, it's talking about trusting his integrity, trusting his promises, and that's the basis for salvation.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm ordering one right now.
All right, friends, make sure to check that out. Don't forget the Living Waters mug. By the way, that's we got cool. A new one coming. By the time this airs, it may hit.
Potentially.
That one says, all right, France, on it, along with our picture. We're getting creative. So collect them, France, and make sure to get that one. Don't forget the Evidence Study Bible, as always, all at livingwaters.com.
unplanned.
We went country today. All right, friends.
Was that country?
I have no idea.
I thought it was punk rock.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, Living Waters. You didn't hear my... You don't notice accents, right? All right, friends. So today, we are talking about...
Nothing.
The loving kindness of God. The loving kindness of God. This is one of those topics that, again, recently like struck me. And I stepped back and I thought, you know, I used to think a lot more on the loving kindness of God when I was a younger believer. I think I was so... enraptured by the fact that God had saved me, redeemed me, and his kindness lovingly opened my eyes and gave me life. And so it was like, it was constantly on my heart and mind, you know. But I think over time, we just start kind of getting
sanctified.
Things. Yeah, we become a sanctified brother.
Brawler.
And we start veering away from that. But the loving kindness of God is one of those things, again, that if we meditate on constantly, I think will transform us as people. You like the loving kindness of God, Ray?
It's good.
What kind of a question is that?
You never know with Ray. No, I don't like it.
It's a good idea. I've been thinking a lot about the law of kindness spoken of in Proverbs 31:26, speaking of the virtuous woman, a wonderful wife, or what I see as the bride of Christ. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness is a law. It's not negotiable. It's something that every Christian should manifest. We cannot, as Christians, walk across the other side. We've got to stop and pour in the oil and the wine. And I think something that I've noticed, I regularly have people turn down gift cards.
I won't.
I will never, no. Especially if it's
give,
now.
Give.
Yes. It's really funny, but I use the law of kindness by saying something to them. I'll say, would you do an interview? And they say, no. So, well, here's a $5 In-N-Out card anyway. And some people will say, no, like my Auntie B. You remember Aunt B? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, you give her a gift. No, I don't want that. It was pride. And it was so distressing for a little kid to offer a gift to an aunt that you wanted to show your love for, and she'd turn it down. But she was a proud lady. And people like that. They don't want a gift they don't deserve, sort of thing, which is a paradox anyway. So I just say to them, there's not enough kindness in this world. Please take it. That immediately changes everything.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A good line, right?
Like 90% of the time, people will say, sure.
Wow.
And that's the attitude the Christian should have. There's not enough kindness in this world. And so please take it. Please let me show you my love. Because that's what loving kindness has to do. It's, you know, love is love, but loving kindness is love in action.
Wow. You heard it here first, guys. Love is love. Ray Comfort.
Oh, no.
Oh, it sounds like a song. We can do this.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, Ray. You know, isn't it interesting, though, that sometimes some of the most resistant people to receive loving kindness from others are those that seem to demonstrate it most. Like Auntie Beat was extremely generous.
Incredibly generous.
Took you on a cruise. She
I can tell you, if I ever got sick or hurt as a little kid around, she came with a gift. I remember the gift she used to bring me, toys and candy and all this. Always, because they had never had children, my aunt. So I was an adopted kid.
Yeah.
And she'd often take me to their cruiser up in, they had a boat up in what was called Marlborough Sounds and take me fishing and that. And she so spoiled me. Every time they returned me to my family, I ended up getting spanked. Because I became a smart little brat because I'd been spoiled for three or four days. Never told no. And it was always that way. I'd get into trouble.
Wow. So you got sick quite often then, I take it.
Every day.
Mommy.
Every day. I was ill.
It was the Vegemite.
That was Ray's little boy voice. But hey, yeah, Mommy, I'm so sick right now.
I remember once I put a hot water bottle on a thermometer to impress my mom on my temperature.
Honey, waddy, body.
I stayed away from school because my temperature was 118.
That reminds me of E.T. The little kid keeps putting the thermometer on the light bulb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they got so that guys, from me. That's a lawsuit.
Yeah. So, guys, the thing that really got me thinking on the loving kindness of God was one day I was meditating on my life verse. And if anyone listening has ever asked me to sign something for them, I always, always include Jeremiah 9:23-24.
Right.
Yeah, I expected that. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And you know, just stepping back and thinking about that, it's like, man, I want to know what delights God. And I want to know what God wants me to understand about him. Hmm. And Ray, I know you appreciate this. I know you have something to say as well, but
How did you know I have something to say?
Oh, when your arms are flailing and your arms are folded, my hands were down. And your beard hairs are prickly.
It was my nostrils.
Ah, yeah, the nostrils. That's right. But I love the balance in this verse. This really speaks to, in one sense, what you always talk about, right? The law of God. You can't really understand the loving kindness of God and the grace of God until you understand the law of God. And I love how it combines loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in there. Right. He exercises those. So, yeah.
Yeah, what?
What you were going to say?
Yeah, well, that's very similar to Psalm 107, verse 43.
Ah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm. It gives a list of things. And sow fields and plant vineyards so that they may yield fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, they might multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. And then further down in verse 43, it says, whoever is wise, similar to what you're saying, and will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Wow.
And so if you observe, just have an observing heart. I mean, nothing blows me away like a blue sky, especially after we've had 5 days of rain.
Yeah.
But the blue sky just takes my breath away. And so do those big, white, puffy clouds. And so do bananas and peaches and apricots and apples, all these things, even a horse.
Mm.
Now, we take horses for granted. Horses are magnificent beasts. Mm. We've got like...
My wife would agree.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a groove for the... where you sit in, it's shaped for a man and a woman.
I think that happens after time of people sitting on the poor horse.
That's when the horse is too heavy. But just think of how magnificent a horse is. I mean, you just watch a cowboy movie and they come running in, the horse stops when he tells it to stop. They put the brakes on, it turns to the left, turns to the right. They're courageous in battle. They've got strength in their neck and the power of their hooves. And in fact, we have...
Ray, stop horsing around.
What?
Stop horsing around.
That didn't go as high as it was expected.
It sounded like an Indian accent horse.
Was that a whinny? Is that what you call a whinny?
But we have, yeah, it was. It was an attempt at a whinny, but it was a floppy. Phil, we have film because of horse hooves. Do you remember how film began?
No.
No.
What? You don't know anything about
that? We weren't alive,
Ray. You don't have to lie to me.
One guy, he said he wanted to prove that horse hooves...
Oh, I do.
Left the ground all at the same time.
I thought you meant film was made out of horse
hooves. Oh, cut it. It was glue, not films. Horse burger, Mark.
That all four were off the ground.
Yeah, so yes, he took multiple pictures to try and prove that a horse's hooves left. And when he ran the pictures together, it went movement, and that started film.
Wow.
Yeah, something.
That's amazing.
That's why we have a podcast on the internet.
You know, Ray, two things real quick on that note. One is, as you were describing all those amazing things, as I was reading your booklet that we mentioned here at the beginning, you were describing in there all the amazing things in keeping with creation. As you were saying, everyone knows God is real. It's not this like, and you're going into detail. And as I was thinking about all those things, just like you kind of numbered some of them, we miss it. You know, and then just last night I slept here at the office. The shirt came in handy today, actually.
No,
I stayed overnight, working, had a lot to do. But
we hear the snoring.
Yeah, I happened to come across a video on a horse. I said the most beautiful horse, and this thing was so majestic. Had like the long hair, and then hair around the hooves, and it was just prancing in this field. And I'm like, oh, this is just amazing.
The problem is familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even remember when we got here. I mean, you got first 3 years, don't remember a thing. I'm quite pleased. Didn't remember I was in the womb.
Yeah.
I remember feeding and sleeping most of the day and having everything changed on me until I was about four, and then I start remembering little glimmers. But horses have crept up on us. They're just there.
Yeah.
And so is sort of flowers, birds, trees, sun, moon, the stars, the seasons, the blue sky, the sunrises, all these things. We just take them for granted. It's just part of life.
Yeah.
But if we were just bang, into creation, we'd fall on our face and say, this is magnificent.
And that all of that comes from the loving kindness of God.
Amen.
Right, Mark? I mean, scripture talks about how he sends rain and he lets his sun rise on the righteous and the wicked. I mean, God's loving kindness in his common grace applies to everybody. Why you look so funny, Mark?
That's just how he looks.
He's only got one face.
If he had another face, he'd wear it. Carry on, Mark.
No, I just, for the last 20-some minutes, I've been listening to you guys talk about a topic that I didn't think we were talking about. I thought we were talking about the love of God, not the loving kindness of God. So I prepared for a message on the love of God and not the kindness of God. I don't know how I missed that.
I sent but you I've been the really, topic.
No, you did. I think you did like 6 months ago.
You can't help it.
I sent them again and again and again.
No, it's really great. I don't remember what your question was, but I've been really blessed by what you guys have been sharing.
No, it was testing your grace.
No, that's kind of you.
Oh, yes.
Kind of you.
Loving kindness.
Speaking of horses, people always ask me why our horse's name is Easy. For those who didn't know, my wife owns a horse, and the horse's name is Easy. And people ask why. It's because their eyeballs are the same as Easy's, size wise.
And don't you have a pig called Mark?
As we talk about the loving kindness of God, I'm reminded of a very peculiar prayer that the Apostle Paul makes to God in Ephesians when he says that he prays that Christ would dwell in the hearts of the people at the Ephesian church. He said that they would know Christ's love and they would be filled with all God's fullness. Why is that a peculiar prayer by Paul? It's peculiar because it comes in chapter 3, and he spent the first 3 chapters essentially affirming that those things were already true about them. So God, you are aware of God's love, and yet he prays again that they would have a more full, rich view of the loving kindness of God. And excuse me, I was thinking about this article that I read a few years ago by these scholars that they emphasized this isn't like biblical precedents, but they observed the route in which Christians would go or people would take in regards to their faith. And they spread it into like 6 different categories. And they said that most Christians don't pass category number 3. And so the first 3 categories are, the first one is your new discovery of a faith, a religion. And that is like your admiration, your affection, your love, like this great aha, that moment when you fall in love with Jesus, that so many people come to that place. And then less people move on to part 2. Part 2 is that journey in our sanctification process where we allow the truths of Christ to impact the totality of our lives. This is the phase where people start repenting of sin, applying their faith to their marriage, to their workplace, to their lives when they're alone and no one else is looking. Like the time where they really start to apply Christ to the wholeness of their life. Few people make it to step 2. Step 3, they talk about is being the leader, in which you're now, a deacon, an elder, or even nothing official. You're leading a Bible study, you're reading books, you're diving deep into the aspects of the goodness and the love of God. They argue that they think that many people get stuck there, and they ask why. And one of the reasons why they assume why people get stuck there is because actually the church's way in which we disciple people doesn't disciple people past that point. Like we think, okay, they're on fire for the Lord, they've repented of sin, and they're participating in the church. We're good. They're all set. We've maximized their Christianityism. And they point out that what generally happens is a crisis. A crisis will determine what happens after step 3. Normally you end up in a crisis, someone passes away, you have a doubt about your faith, and one of 2 things happens. Either 1, they reset to step 1, or they reset outside of the faith. And they observe that people will actually take those same steps in another faith, in another religion. They get on fire for activism, for wokeness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So these guys argue like one of the reasons that people don't move from step 3 to step 4, which is like a deep, rich, meaningful, soul-searching affection for the Lord, is because of what Paul is praying for in Ephesians chapter 3. He says this, he prays that we would grasp all that God has for us. And that grasp is like this wrestle with, this sack and plunder, this overpower of our souls. And so ultimately what Paul's asking for is that like, that our souls would be overpowered with the loving kindness of God, that there's some aspect of our journey as believers where we really begin to know God's affection for his children. That's something that we all desperately need in our journey with Christ.
Amen.
How can we mimic or imitate that kindness to other people? Well, what does that look like? How do we carry that out in a very practical way?
Yeah, I think, you know...
In and out.
I mean, is it more than just being nice?
Well, yeah, I think time spent in the presence of God in remembering his loving kindness toward us is going to spur us to do that. I mean, Mark, we've talked about that. We never thought we'd ever open air preach, and we started hanging out with Ray Comfort.
No, you open air preached the first time we went out to open air preach with Ray.
Because he called me up on the box. He put me on the spot. So, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we got influenced by that, right? We started watching the videos, we're reading the books, and then we went with him eventually. And being in the presence of God and focusing, like Oscar said, you know what? It's width, length, depth, and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it just begins to just seep out of you because it's like exploding in you. God has been so kind to me. How can I not be kind toward others?
And that's, you know, the kindest thing that I could do for my neighbor is to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
And the most unkindest or the most unloving thing that I could do is to not do that. I tell people all the time when I'm sharing a message, I have a message entitled Creative Ways to Share Your Faith. And there's one point that I make in the midst of that teaching where I say, if you find yourself in a rut where you're not handing out gospel tracts, you're not talking to people about the things of Christ, well, go to the grocery store and just be kind to people. Engage in a conversation with a person who's taking your order at a restaurant. Have a conversation, because before you know it, it's going to well up inside of you to want to share with the person. When you're done talking to someone, naturally you're going to be reaching into that pocket, pulling out that gospel track, wanting to give it to them. But it starts with just an act of kindness and being there, preferring other people greater than yourself, being kind. In fact, I remember one of the professors at Bible college. He was a pastor for many years, and he wasn't a Christian. He knew he wasn't a Christian. His wife knew he wasn't a Christian, and he was teaching. And then he got born again. His kids knew that he wasn't a Christian, that he knew that he was just a big hypocrite. His name was Les. When he became a Christian, his wife and kids didn't believe it because he was such a hypocrite, and he knew how to talk the talk. But it was at Christmas time. They were at the mall, and they were looking for a parking spot. And this was the turning point where the parent, his wife and the kids looked at each other and says, he is a Christian. Because he went around to get this parking spot. It was his turn for that parking spot. Somebody zipped in and grabbed that parking spot that was due to him because he had been waiting.
Wow.
And he said, you know, I'll just get the next one.
Wow.
He kept on going. But that act of kindness of preferring this driver who stole it from him resonated with his own family, because what he ordinarily would do is go out there and tell that person what he was really thinking. And
Or just at least shoot out their tires.
Slash out the tires and then spray them with pepper spray. Yeah, but listen, kindness, it goes a long way, right? Kindness, I read this just recently, kindness is love in action. You know, my wife and I, we were having a dispute the other day. I was telling you easy, you know, a little bit about it, getting some insight from you. But I sent her this quote earlier today. I said, it's from Spurgeon. No matter what good truths you have to teach, no one will thank you if you do not speak kindly.
Wow.
Right? Oh. So it's like, speak the truth, but you know, we could speak it in love a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, right? I love the way someone said it. They said, speak the truth, but don't be a jerk about it.
Oh.
And yeah, I think
that's like the Message Bible. You know, it's really well worded though.
Yeah, no, it's true, because so many, and this is, you know, often you'll hear people be like, they'll be a total jerk and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I'm just speaking the truth in love. It's like, no, man, you're kind of being a jerk. Like, you can do it in a way. I think you do this really well.
Thank you.
Bring the truth.
For those that weren't,
that was pointing to Easy, not Mark Smith.
See, Easy's working on not being selfish, so he didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah. But bringing the truth in a way that is loving and kind and gentle, with the hope that it has the same effect, which is cause repentance. Mm. Tell me about, like, let me ask you this. Do you ever go into a conversation going, man, I really hope I don't speak the truth like a jerk? Or is that just not even like, are you just totally done with that?
All the time. Because that's my propensity. And man, I've blown it so many times in my life. That's why, you know, I'm passionate to change because, you know, I, again, this whole thing that God's working in me on selfishness and stuff. Now you guys are going to point at me every second I show selfishness. Hey, brother, I thought I'm so far from where I need to be. But
it's a bit of a selfish thought.
Yeah. Let me just say that.
Selfish?
I've been realizing like what it is. Like when we speak to someone with harshness, when we speak to someone with frustration, that's self-love. That's that, again, wicked, evil self-embrace. It's an itch that I'm willing to scratch at the expense of violating love.
Ouch.
Right? I mean, that's what it is. It's an itch I'm willing to scratch at the expense of violating love, loving you and loving God. And it's disgusting, you know? And it's like, you know how when you get a certain vehicle, you start noticing that vehicle everywhere, whereas before, the same amount of vehicles were probably there, but you just, now
I'm
you
seeing
notice
Ferraris
it.
Ferraris everywhere now. Yeah.
And so now I'm like just seeing selfishness everywhere in myself. And, you know, I'm watching a YouTube video and I'm like, oh, look at that disgusting. And it's just like, that's what it is. It's all absorbed with self. Don't you think, Ray? Isn't that what it is when we act that way?
Yes. I'll change the subject slightly because I've shared this before about 30 years ago on the podcast, but you guys would have forgotten it because we forget most of the things we're told, and Ivy probably said that. But anyway, I was having my first operation at the age of 20. I had two or three hernia operations.
This wasn't the facelift?
No, that wasn't the facelift. Didn't need that then. But I was 20 years old, a little nervous, hadn't been in the hospital before. They gave me a shot of something that sent me feeling really good about everything. Just cut my arms and legs off. I don't care. It was almost had that attitude.
Heroin, right?
Yeah,
heroin.
Yeah. It wasn't. I think it was something like. Anyway, felt really good. Anyway,
the
I
name
woke
of the
up.
Hospital was Motel 6.
I woke up with a. Okay, I'm getting to this point. I woke up in the middle of the night, covered in sweat. I was absolutely swimming in it, pitch dark, and a lot of pain. And in the darkness, suddenly I saw a flashlight right by my head, and it was a nurse that just whispered, "Do you want a cup of tea?" I will never, ever forget those words. Just about brings me to tears.
Wow. Did she know you were allergic? Is that why?
No. It really was. It was so meaningful, and it was the tone in which she said it.
Yeah. Bedside manners.
It was.
It goes a long ways.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we notice, like, there's something in us, right? It's what I call that universal matrix. We all know what good, loving kindness type of treatment is because it's God's law written upon our hearts. And we recognize what it should look like. That's why when we don't get it, bells go off and sirens, because we know that's not right. Mm. That's why we get upset. And there's just something beautiful about that. And like I've been saying, you know, it's been demonstrated by the Lord. The word loving kindness is the word chesed in the Hebrew. And as you can tell from the word, it carries with it the idea of love and kindness, obviously, but it has at the heart of it a zeal toward the ones that it's being exercised toward. There's a zeal involved in it.
Amen.
It's not just, you know, a half-hearted sort of mediocre. It's like zealous, passionate outpouring of loving kindness toward someone.
You know, that's a... Sorry, go ahead, Ray.
So in my hour of darkness, a light came on in the gospel.
Wow.
That's what produces a gratitude in my heart that explodes because of the loving kindness that was given to me through the cross.
Wow.
So
amen.
I just wanted to mention that. That's where I was going with that nurse.
I brought up Ephesians 3:17. You quoted the back half of 19. You just reminded me of one aspect that's sandwiched between the two things that we were quoting, which it says like this: I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp.
Amen.
And so it's God intends to give us to one another to know the love of God.
Amen. Yeah. And you know, you think about what Paul talks about, you know, in Ephesians 2, he talks about how we were saved by that loving kindness of God. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And oftentimes people will try to sort of sequester loving kindness to the New Testament, right? No, that's the New Testament God. But listen to Jonah. Mm. He says, this is after everything happened and Jonah fled from God, went to Nineveh or went to Tarshish. God brings him back, the fish swallows him, all that. And then,
spoiler alert,
he preaches to them to repent, and they do repent. So now Jonah's sitting there fuming. And he says in Jonah 4:2, so he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord. I love that. It's one of my favorite parts of the scripture.
Well, when you meet him, he might say, like I said, ah.
Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness.
So what was Jonah's problem?
He hated the Ninevites. They were evil, wicked people. And he didn't want to see God's mercy on them. He wanted to see God's judgment on them. And so he didn't want to be a part of that. It's like, I know I'm going to go waste my breath and then you're going to have mercy on them, Lord.
Wow.
But he knew God was full of loving kindness. And so, man, we need to, like Jeremiah 9 says, you know, we need to understand that this is who God is, that he exercises loving kindness. And I think sometimes, you know, part of what you talked about, Oscar, there's this desensitization that happens where what should be not just enough, but it should cause us to be paralyzed because of awe.
Mm.
We just overlook. Like, okay, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Cool. What more do you want God to do to show you his loving? He doesn't have to do anything more. He didn't have to do that. And he went in above and beyond. And we're like, oh, what do you mean loving kindness?
Look at the full revelation of loving kindness is in Psalm 63, verse 3. Hmm. David says, because your loving kindness is better than life.
Hmm.
I mean, what's better than life? Well, loving kindness.
Yeah,
that's so good.
I love... You just did two amazing things. One, you talked about like the reality that people are like, well, God is loving kindness in the New Testament, but not in the Old. And then you also quoted a New Testament where while we were yet sinners, and just to add to that, same love is in the Old Testament. Genesis 3, chapter 8, they've sinned against God. They've turned their back at him. They're hiding. They've made themselves loincloths. It's the worst. The fall has just happened. And the next verse is, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. How is that grace? He sought after them in the midst of their sin, right after the fall, as they're hiding in shame. God goes after them. We do not pursue God. God pursues us. There is no, you know, it's funny because I'll often say this, man, they're so close. It seems like they're right there maybe. And I think people know what I mean by that. But the reality too, from a theological perspective, nobody is pursuing after God. The loving kindness of God is that while we are still sinners, Old Testament, Adam and Eve, fallen, hidden in shame, they've destroyed everything. In the coolness of night, he goes after them and calls for them.
I like it, you know, and let's point out the fact, you know, C.S. Lewis said that God doesn't love us because we're lovable, you know, but because he is love. Because God is love, he loves to seek after us. His wrath can be subsided from someone, but his love cannot, right? I mean, consider that for a moment, that God's wrath can abide upon us one moment, and they can be subsided because of his kindness and his love and the work that he did at the cross, but God's love will never be subsided towards us. That God's heart and his mind and his affection and his attention is set upon us because of what Christ did, and that will never, ever be removed.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Amen, Mark. That's so good. Yeah, and look, here's some of these psalms. Ray, I'd love for you to touch on some of these, but Psalm 36:7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. How cool is that? How precious is your loving kindness.
It's like a chicken.
That's like Ray's commentary.
Everything's going to be like a chicken to Ray.
It's like a hen on the shadow of your wings.
Yeah, I love chickens. Psalm 40, verse 10, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I've declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Wow. Right, Ray? This is right up your alley, right? Declaring.
Yeah, Jesus preached righteousness in the great congregation, and evangelism is just a spilling over of the loving kindness of God in our own lives. We cannot but speak that which we've seen and heard. I love the words as Matthew Henry said, a desirable end proposed, and that is rightly to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. It is of a great use to us to be fully assured of God's goodness, to be experimentally acquainted and duly affected with it, that is his loving kindness may be before our eyes. And that's what we've always got to keep before our eyes, God's loving kindness. It's all things work together for good to those that love God and accord according to his purposes.
Amen. Yeah, I love this one in Psalm 40:11. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. You know, it's that preserving agent that sustains us. I mean, I can't think of anything more helpful in times of distress than to pause and meditate on God's loving kindness.
You've got to.
Yeah, it sustains us. It preserves us. And even just thinking that he's given us eternity. He's given us forgiveness of sin. He's promised to cause all things to work together for good. He says, blessed are we, right, when all these horrible things happen to us. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Nothing will separate us from his love. No one can snatch us out of his hand. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and all of that ties back to his loving kindness.
Amen.
Yeah. And so, friends, we hope that your hearts have been stirred and that you'll turn toward him in remembrance of the loving kindness that he's shown toward you and then demonstrate it toward others. You know, we often talk a lot about a lot of things on the program, but we want to stir you to action. We want you to go out and then imitate your God, right? Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And so he demonstrated it, he showed it, and now we can go out and we can demonstrate it. And I'm out of voice, y'all. And you guys are saying good.
Answer to prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
He's heard us.
All right, friends, don't forget the When a Believer Has Doubts booklet by Ray Comfort.
Booklet.
And the Living Waters mug. Look out. We may have the new one up. Just check. The Evidence Study Bible, all at livingwaters.com, podcast at livingwaters.com. Make sure to give us your comments and remember to like and subscribe and comment and rate and all that stuff on whatever platform you listen on. And thank you, friends. We love you. You're our friends. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, friends. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast. The ultimate cure. Cura?
Cure up?
For insomnia.
Don't do it.
Yes. Winners, winners, winners. That's you, friends. Those of you who I'm about to announce are the winners of this week's podcast giveaway on the Living Waters podcast. We've got Carlos from Lamont, California, Daniel from Jamestown, North Carolina, Ed Washburn from Tennessee, David Norwood from North Carolina, Doug Campobello from South Carolina, Ali from Falls Church, Virginia, Adrian from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Joshua from Excelsior Springs, Missouri, Eva from Bow Island, Canada, and Penelope from Bardwell Park, Australia. Shout out to the Aussies and the Canadians out there. Friends, you can get this too, those of you who are listening. Just share the word and sign up for the Living Waters podcast.